Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Hello, good morning, this is Stu, and you're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5. Just want to say again that Mike is out, but he's getting much better. In fact, he is out of the hospital now. Yay! He's huffing around town, got him a haircut, looking all sexy and stuff. It looks like he joined a boy band. That's what it is. So they're going to give him another week of bed rest at home, and I don't know if he'll be on next week, but maybe within the next 2 weeks, we'll get Mike back in here.
Mm-hmm.
But,
a boy band.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Well, an old boy band. again, I want to give out the URL for the GoFundMe if you want to help out with Mike's medical expenses. It's gofund.me/db06baaa. And I'll put that on the website. It's already there, but I'll put a fresh one up. And he's doing better. He's doing the money is helping out tremendously.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't just out of work. He was out of three different jobs. So he's needing a little help, and everybody's chipped in. Thank you so much.
Greatly appreciated.
Yeah, very, very, very much. So Mike and everyone else that's been out there dealing with this, our prayers are with you. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we got you back for now. Once you're ready to get up, you can come over and mow our lawns. How's that sound? Oh, Leanne, I got one for you today.
Yay.
The next segment, best of the worst this week, Red Hot Sausages.
Ooh.
Yeah. And a lot of people have always been afraid of trying these. Oh, Red Hot. Well, I don't like spicy food. They're not called Red Hot because they're spicy. They're called Red Hots because they were served hot and they're red. and there are spicy versions out there. I usually try and get as spicy as I can possibly get.
Mm-hmm.
But these are all going to be made in Alabama this week.
Nice.
And because I did some research a few years ago. I'm pretty sure the Red Hot sausage was invented in Chicago.
Really?
But, yeah. It's not a Southern thing at all. Even though you would think it is.
Yeah.
Because it's bologna. That's pretty
right.
much what it is. It's
yeah.
baloney. But, yeah, remember the old Red Hots, get your Red Hots mm-hmm. at the baseball game?
Oh.
That's what they're talking about, not hot dogs. Red Hots were an actual thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And but in the South, I'm sure we add a good deal more smoke than they would up north, especially up until the last decade or so. You had such strong restrictions on smoking food, especially in big cities like Chicago and New York, that they couldn't have actual barbecue in those cities.
Oh.
Because they didn't want the smoke going out. And I'm like, well,
yeah.
there's a whole lot worse stuff.
There's a lot of people
yeah,
there.
Than just you know, smoke from wood.
Yeah.
You got a lot more stuff going in your atmosphere than that. And they have loosened restrictions. Believe it or not, New York has some pretty good barbecue now, from what I understand.
Hmm.
Because all the people that opened the big, like, dinosaur barbecue in New York City and in the area, they came to the South and learned how to make it. And I think it's dinosaur. They offer every regional style of barbecue. He went to Texas to learn how to do brisket. He went to the Carolinas to learn how to do whole hog. He went to Memphis to learn how to do baby backs. Went to Kansas City. If it's served in the country, they serve it, and he went and learned from the best of the best
mm-hmm.
in each of those regions.
Wow.
Which is the kind of thing you can do in New York City.
Yeah.
Because you've got so many people that they can afford, and I'm sure it's nowhere near as cost-effective as it is here.
Right.
And that's just going to get worse as these food shortages continue, and we're going to get into that as well. Just a quick note. In the last year, From the global pandemic, the prices of beef and veal are up 25.1%.
Wow.
Eggs are up 12.1%. Pork is up 11.8%. And poultry is up 8.7%.
Wow.
Just because of the pandemic in the last year. And they're not going down.
Right.
There's no relief. Until this thing is completely over, the food's going to get scarcer and the prices are going to go up. So you need to plan ahead.
Because less people are working in the factories?
Exactly. And that's one of it. And the other thing, and this is one where I don't care which president, but this is what executive orders are for. You go to Tyson, you go to Cargill, and you go, remember all those animals that you slaughtered because you didn't want to pay for feeding them? Well, because you did that, you don't get to raise your prices. Just take a loss. Because that's why we're having shortages of chicken and beef and pork, is because they didn't want to feed the animals. It costs too much to feed them. It costs too much to keep an animal alive, so they just slaughter them. Mm-hmm. Hundreds and thousands of animals just buried in pits and killed to save a nickel. And guess what? We actually needed them. So
right.
Had they not done it, prices would be leveled out. There'd still be some backup in processing. But you know, because there aren't people in the facilities. It's so funny when people go, I don't see any chicken gizzards. Right. We're out. Why is that? COVID-19.
Yeah.
I'm looking for these particular Nikes that I like. Well, we don't have any. What's up? COVID-19. If it's something you don't produce yourself, COVID-19 has slowed the production of it.
Mm-hmm.
Worldwide. Anything you purchase, it's scarce right now. So don't get upset or anything because they don't have it, because it doesn't exist. That's why they don't have it. It's not that no one's doing their job, because we get like, y'all need to order better. No, it doesn't do us any good to order properly if it's not on the truck when it gets here.
Right.
And there's a lot of that going on in every single thing that is manufactured. Basically, if you don't do it yourself, then it's scarce right now. So we need to remember that, and that's why people should be doing things themselves more. This whole thing where you just want the rest of the world to take care of you, it can't go on. That's a non-sustainable system right there, because eventually there's not going to be anything left there to take care of you.
Yeah.
So you always need to plan for the worst, and hey, it's here. Guess what? The worst is here so far. No meteors from space, though. That was what I had my money on.
I know.
Yeah.
Me too.
Because I'm like, well, I know it's going to be a big explosion and we're all going to die, but man, think of the firework before it happens. And we had a little bit of a football game earlier this week.
Did we?
Yeah. In the state of Alabama. And as most listeners know, I am an Auburn fan, but I really was hoping that Alabama would do exactly what they did to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And, not for any dislike of Ohio State specifically, I didn't like the way the Big Ten tried to manipulate college football for their own political purposes. And then when they saw that people don't take them seriously, then they scrambled to try and get a chunk of the money.
Well, yeah.
And broke several rules. I mean, had Ohio State lucked up in one, and let's be honest, and for truth, had Ohio State beaten Alabama, it would have been 100% because the NCAA fixed the game. There's no way Ohio State could have beaten Alabama because they only had a half a season.
Right.
They don't even know what team they were yet.
Even if they had a full season, right. I don't think they would have beat them.
Yeah, it would have been more competitive because
right.
of the yes. talent level. But,
yes.
But, yeah, and what irks me is that the Big Ten still gets the money. They weren't part of college football this year. They threw a jamboree at the end, and they set up all the ducks in a row to make sure Ohio State would be undefeated. They
mm-hmm.
set the schedule up that way. They weren't expecting any of the teams in the Big Ten to be good this year, and they weren't. It was a terrible conference. They had some teams that had better records simply because the rest of the conference was just so pathetic. And not because there's a lack of talent or coaching in the Big Ten. They didn't have a spring like everyone else, and they
right.
just – And one of the coaches I read had said, you know, this was they either should have called it or they should have stayed out of the way. But what they did was worse than anything else. There's no telling how many kids got injured in the Big Ten this year simply because of the way the conference handled it. So they got embarrassed on national TV. That was the easiest win Alabama has had all year. Ohio State was the worst team on their schedule.
Because, oh, definitely.
Because they played a 10-11 game SEC schedule. That already there makes it the toughest schedule in history. All right, folks, going to the first break, 343-0106. You want to get in on the action? And check us out on our Facebook Live, facebook.com/sipandchew.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
And we are back. Good morning. This is Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. I see Mike out there. He is listening to the show, folks. Everybody say, hey, Mike. Good
hey,
job.
Mike.
Good job, everybody. We are back, and we are about to get into the best of the worst, which is, I think it's something that Leanna has enjoyed so far.
Of course.
Okay, and just a quick review. Wurst, W-U-R-S-T, is the German word for sausage.
Mm-hmm.
So this week we're going to try, and we were talking about in the last segment, people in the South love this. In fact, a red hot sausage in a piece of white bread with some yellow mustard, to me, is a redneck bratwurst.
Yeah.
That's what I call that, redneck bratwurst. That is the best thing. That you don't need to get fancy with a red hot. You need it warm, and you need bread and mustard.
Right.
A little shot of hot sauce doesn't work. But
no cheese?
No. What? Sinner.
Fine. I put cheese on everything.
Well, there you go. I'd like to try some of your cheese and Waldorf salad.
Ew.
So you don't put cheese on everything.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so she's getting into number one now.
Mm-hmm.
Even a little bit. All three of these are made in Alabama. One of them is Bryant's, which I believe is in the Tuscaloosa area. And I may have this backwards, and Ziegler is in Tuscaloosa, possibly. And then Hall's, of course, is right here, in right across the bay from Baldwin County, in a little place called Mobile, actually in Chickasaw. And like I said earlier, a lot of people get scared because they think they're super spicy. And unless it says extra hot on it, they're not really spicy.
Number one was a little spicy.
Was a little spicy. I tried to get some that were a little spicier.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's what I like. Okay, now she's going in for number two. She's thinking about it. She's thinking. I forgot her crackers this week, so she can't cleanse her palate.
Well, number one was kind of spicy, but I really like that it has the texture of it.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the texture.
You got a good texture?
Mm-hmm. It's a little sausagey. And this one's way more like bologna.
Yeah.
Number two?
Mm-hmm.
It's way like bologna. I love fried bologna, by the way. It's like my...
guilty pleasure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. Because I don't tell many people that, so y'all keep it a
secret. I have run fried bolognas on menus before, and what I do is get a really high-quality German bologna that are about 9 inches in circle. They're huge.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on a slicer and cut it about almost a half inch thick. Really thick. And then we fry them, and two slices of that go on the sandwich.
Wow.
With sharp cheddar, bacon, lettuce, tomato, onion, pickle, mayonnaise, and mustard.
They had like a garlic and something.
Got some flavors.
Sage?
Going. I'm not sure. You'd have to ask the folks that made it.
Mm. That's really good.
Yeah.
My grandma used to make... I don't know why this combination tasted really good, but she used to make something called bologna floats, and it would be bologna and mashed potatoes. It was very weird, but it tasted really good together.
I bet it, especially if the bologna's fried.
Right.
Yeah.
You fry it, and it, like, makes a boat shape kind of thing.
When
and
it curls up.
And you put mashed potatoes in the middle of it. I used to love that.
Yep. All right.
Okay, let's see.
Number three.
It's a little tough. I'm going to say that one's number two is Hall's.
Number two is Ziegler.
Really?
Yep.
Is this the Halls?
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to bring in a fourth one that's also Halls, and we were out yesterday. They have a new Red Hot with garlic.
Ooh.
Yeah. And if you haven't tried Halls, they do a garlic bologna. That's just, it's phenomenal. It really
is.
That's
why I thought that number two was Halls, because it had a garlicky taste.
And it's just more pronounced than the Ziegler. But the Halls, I've been in Halls when they were making the Red Hots, and it's just the coolest thing.
Oh, man, that's good. Get you another piece.
Go for it. Go for it. We would have done the Andouille this week, but we were out of the Halls Andouille, too.
Oh, man.
Which means I need some Andouille and Daphne out there, folks.
Andouille.
Yeah, so we'll do Andouille coming up soon. There's some other brands. I'm really wanting to highlight what we have here in the South. And when I can, I want to contrast it versus the national bestseller, like we did last week with the Hillshire Farms. And it was fine. You agreed it was fine. But texture, flavor, all of it, it didn't come anywhere near the Monroe or the Conecuh that we tried.
Right.
It doesn't come near Country Please, not a Jackson. It doesn't come near Halls. It's just what we do here in the South is a different level.
Right.
And I want to highlight a bunch of these different ones because, you know, Halls, that's got my heart right there.
Right.
You know.
Oh,
I
so
honestly
good.
Used to live two streets down from the factory when I first moved back from Nashville.
Oh, really?
And I used to drive by it every day and going, one of these days I'm just going to go in there and see if they'll let me take a tour. And sure enough, they've let me take a tour.
Wow.
So it was very cool. Keith chimed in. He goes, and hard to argue with. We just did it here and live on there. Halls is best.
Yes.
Yep. And that was who we went with the best. And I'm sure if Mike were here, he would go with it as well, because it just really is. All of these are from Alabama.
Yeah. And they're all great.
Right.
But Halls has my heart.
Yeah. That's really good. And I'll try and get some of the garlic and just bring it in sometime.
Okay. And what was number two again?
Number two was Ziegler.
And Ziegler.
And number one was Bryant's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it actually says on the package on it, Bryant's Alabama style Red Hots, which I don't
what
know.
What is Alabama style?
They made it in Alabama.
Oh.
I'm guessing. But that is this week's best of the worst. And there's a lot of weird stuff you're going to get to try in this.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's a new sausage that we're carrying out of Hattiesburg. And the name is slipping my mind at the moment, but they have a blueberry sausage. They have a pork and pineapple smoked sausage.
Pineapple?
Yeah. See, that's the blueberries got me. It looks weird, too. But the pineapple sausage, because, you know, we've probably all had a skewer with some smoked sausage and pineapple on it at a barbecue. Well, now it's just all together. They've got one that has four different cheeses in it. Yeah.
Four?
Yep. Everyone is raving. I haven't tried any of them yet. And we may just do one where we just try those. Because they're odd.
I'm not going to argue with you.
And I have more good news for you.
Ooh.
February 7th, our guest will be none other than Patty Cakes Clark from Fairhope Bakery Warehouse.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Have you been over to Warehouse Bakery yet?
I haven't.
You should go. I need to talk to Patty about getting a special king cake made. My family is having a get-together in February. My nephew Liam and I, our birthdays are within a week or so of each other. So we always have one little thing. My mother loved rhubarb. She was from the North. I'm going to see if Patty can do me a strawberry rhubarb-filled king cake to take to my family for that. Because my mother introduced all of us to rhubarb, because especially in the days before giant supermarkets, it didn't grow down here, so you couldn't get it.
Right.
So they would get it when they went up to Washington.
Yeah.
My grandmother many times would ship us a box that we would go pick up at the airport, because that's how you got things back in the day. And we would get it off of an airport, and we would open up the box, and it'd be full of cinnamon rolls and rhubarb.
Ooh.
And sometimes some raspberries.
Yummy.
Yeah. I have no idea what it cost to ship things back then, but we would have to literally drive to the airport and go to a plane to get the stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. That was the 70s. the early 70s. Yeah, there weren't no DHL back then.
No.
Yeah. And no way the post office could have gotten in here.
In time, in, yeah.
Or, you know, because it, it used to trip us out. I lived in Chickasaw, mm-hmm. and my mother lived in Sims, and it took 4 days for her to mail me something. And the reason for that is it would go from Sims to Mobile.
Right.
Mobile splits it up. Then it would go to Saraland, and then Saraland divvies it up and sends stuff to Satsuma and Chickasaw and Pritchard.
Yeah.
343-0106, folks. Join in on the conversation. We're getting a little tired and bored here. We need your help.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When it gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spoody, drink wine.
Bap, bap.
Wine, spoody, drink wine.
Bap, bap.
Wine, spoody, drink wine.
Bap, bap.
Pass that bottle to me.
All right, folks, we are back, and Leanna just tried the best of the worst.
Mm.
And I think she chose Halls as the best.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Red Hots are a lot of fun. And like I say, it's one of the simplest delicacies you can ever treat yourself to. Let me guess, the cheese you put on, is it American?
Of course.
So it's not even real cheese. That's perfect. I do a pizza that I call the 3 a.m. pizza. And because it's everything you crave when you come in at 3 a.m. with a buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And the sauce is mayonnaise based with barbecue sauce, English mustard, and Tabasco.
Okay, yeah.
And then it's sliced Hall's Red Hot sausages.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cheese is this new blend Kraft has that is cheddar and shredded American.
Shredded American?
Shredded American with the shredded cheddar.
Huh.
So you get both the texture and the flavor. And then when it comes out, you just hit it with some raw onions and some pickle.
Mmm.
It's exactly what you want at 3 a.m.
Right.
It may not be the best thing in the world, say, at noon. But at 3 a.m, it's good. So that's why I call it the 3 a.m. We were talking earlier about the food prices and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just reading here from... What do they call this? Rip and read? That's what the journalists
yes.
call it when a radio hack like me gets on here and just reads their article.
Right.
And
yes.
Well, now you know at least one person read it. And, it says, after 7 months of consecutive growth, food prices finally reached a 3-year peak for the whole pandemic year. According to the UN Food Security Agency, the Food and Agricultural Association, the UN's benchmark index, which tracks changes in international prices on a basket of food commodities, rose to over 2% in December.
Mm-hmm.
That's just December. Each month was that kind of bill. And so the number one thing with rising prices are vegetable oil, because everybody's frying everything. And let's see.
Get an air fryer.
Yeah, the increase was led by the rising prices of vegetable oil, which saw the biggest advance in 8 years, and dairy products also were up.
Because
there's nobody there to process that.
Yeah.
So get a cow, milk it yourself. Problem solved.
Yeah, that's easy.
Okay. According to the FAO's estimates, sugar prices were the only ones to retreat last month. Everything else went up. But the sub-index was still up over 1% for 2020 compared to the pre-pandemic year.
Mm-hmm.
That's everything has gone up. Every single thing. Like I said, except sugar. Which is
That's
odd that it would go down in December.
Right, because so many desserts are made in December.
Yeah. Well, maybe they didn't kill all the sugar cane because they didn't want to feed it. So they still had sugar
true.
Cane.
I mean,
probably an abundance of sugar cane.
What do you feed sugar cane?
Dirt. It's a plant.
I know.
You feed it dirt. Despite a sharp increase at the end of 2020 for the whole year, the UN gauge of food prices averaged
I don't know what this point system is. They keep throwing it around and don't ever explain what the point system is.
Of course not.
But average 97.9 points, whatever that means. That's over 3% more than a year ago and the highest level since 2017. However, last year's results are still far from the crisis seen around a decade ago when the index reached a historical peak, nearly 132 points. That was the height of the last recession that they're talking about there. We say recession. That was a depression.
Yes.
You know, we've had two depressions. We had, and, but, yeah. So some of the hikes were driven by higher global import demand induced by concerns over drier and warmer weather conditions, according to the FAO. That's the cause for dairy products, for example. It's warmer weather conditions. I don't know what that talks about. I don't know why that would affect dairy. It's an animal.
Yeah.
However, import quotas and tightening supplies among major exporters and the pandemic also boosted food price inflation. So we're not done with food prices going up. Mm. It's until this all ends, everything's going to get more expensive. It's going to get harder to find things. And we just need to be patient.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing. There are people, the people who eat a set routine. Monday is meatloaf. Tuesday is tuna casserole, and they have that every Monday and Tuesday. And they walk in, and there's no tuna, and they just flip out. What am I going to do? Eat something else.
Yeah.
When you go to the grocery store, it's not like it has been in years where you go in with a set menu. Go in and see what they have and base your menu off that. That's how I cook.
Mm-hmm.
I very rarely go into a grocery store with a list of ingredients for things I want to cook that week. I don't understand how people do that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to want Thursday.
Right.
You know. Now, I get it. When a head of household that's planning the meals for an entire family, you have to do that.
Yes.
I don't have an entire family that I have to feed, so.
Right.
Maybe
when it's
that's
just two of you, it's hard to just judge your cravings.
Right. And so if I had a bunch of youngins running around, I would probably learn that thing. But, you know. You're not one of the things that I saw, and it was kind of frustrating, is people coming in for New Year's, where are the ham hocks? Or we're sold out. Well, how am I going to make my beans? We got a whole wall of other smoked pork. Close your eyes. You're not going to know the difference between a ham hock or a smoked pig ear or just a chunk of ham. It all tastes the same.
Right.
You need some bone marrow. You need some smoke and some pork fat. It doesn't matter if it's a hock. Use a turkey leg.
Yeah.
You're not going to know the difference. I know it's tradition, and that's what I had to explain to a lot of people. I know your tradition is you always put a ham hock in there every New Year's. Well, we don't have any. But we got some nice ham over here you can put in it that's called seasoning ham. It's the little chunks.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it's for.
Right.
Putting in your beans and stuff. Smoked pork necks. It's going to be great. It actually doesn't come off the neck most of the time. Most of the time, it is the bone from Boston Butts when they debone them.
Mm-hmm.
They cut the bone up, leave a little meat on there, and it's actually called pork turkey neck from Boston Butt. That's the full the full thing on it. So it's not actually from the neck; it's from the shoulder. Because Boston Butt doesn't come from the butt; it comes from the shoulder, the front shoulder.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think
I always get so confused with the meat descriptions.
Because they're different everywhere. What we call a rump roast in the South is not called that anywhere else. It's called a bottom round roast.
Mm.
Yeah. And we'll have a lot of people. This is something that gets me. People will come in and they don't look at the percents on ground beef. They won't chuck.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, guess what? You've never had ground chuck probably in your life unless
right.
you ground it. It was mostly chuck, but whatever else was lying around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we've got to get away from that. We need to start leaving. People will come in. We've got three different grinds that are sirloin, a 96%, a 93%, and a 90%.
Mm-hmm.
But the only one that the ticket says sirloin on is the 90%. So they'll come in and see the 96, and they'll see the 93, and they go, do you not have any sirloin? Yeah, it's right there. Well, it doesn't say sirloin on it, right, but it's all from different parts of the sirloin.
Mm.
So it's all sirloin. You can get any of those. And if it doesn't say it on it, they won't touch it. We'll have this 81% out there. It's essentially the same thing as ground chuck, which is 80-20. It's just, it's a hair leaner. It's got a little ribeye, a little sirloin mixed into it. It don't say chuck, I ain't getting it. I can tell you right now, with your eyes closed, you can't tell the difference.
Right.
Because muscle tissue is muscle tissue. It doesn't matter if it comes off the chuck or that. What you're looking for in a ground meat is the lean to fat ratio.
Right.
And not what part it comes from, because it all tastes like cow.
Yes.
The sirloin tastes steakier. You know why? Because there's less fat in it.
Okay.
The more fat, the more burgery it tastes. So, and I enjoy a really lean ground beef. Just out of the package. I mean, I just salt, pepper, straight into a skillet, right out of the package. I don't shape it. I don't do anything to it. Well, however it came out of the package, that's how it goes in the pan.
Yeah.
And it gets flipped over. When it's got a good crust on both sides and it's still medium rare in the center, I'm at it. And that's it. I don't need it. I don't put it on a bun. It's just, it is a chopped steak at its very best. So, and the lean ones are great for that. And you got to leave them medium rare, because without the fat, they're not going to be as juicy.
Right.
You probably would, if you're a well-done person, don't even bother with this.
Oh.
Medium, you could get away. Medium well, still got some liquid to it. But, I mean, well done is burnt.
Yes.
It always kills me when people go, I want it well done, but I don't want it burnt. Then what are you asking for? Because, I'm sorry, well done is always burnt. If there's no pink, you have burned it.
Yes.
Period.
Really, I love raw. I mean, not raw, but rare. I mean, nearly raw.
Right. Oh, I like the raw when it's like steak tartare.
Yes.
Love steak tartare. Or a carpaccio, which is thinly sliced beef tenderloin that's raw. Named after an Italian artist whose name Carpaccio, and he was known for doing things with lots of red. So they named the dish after him. And I've done carpaccio with tuna as well. And I do a version of a carpaccio in an appetizer where I actually blacken the whole steak and just set the seasonings. Nothing else cooks. Let it chill down and then slice it. So now you've got that really thin slice of raw, really good beef with that blackened crust around the edge. And it goes all, and then you put a little blue cheese on top of it, a little shot of blueberry balsamic vinegar. You got you a pretty good little appetizer there. But those are single bites when I do it like that. It's just a piece of crustini, that little slice of beef, the blue cheese, and the dressing.
Nice. That sounds good.
Yeah, it is. It was an improvised appetizer we did one time that people loved so much we had to keep doing it.
Well, of course.
And it was just like, huh, we got that one short rib over there. Let's play with it. And that's what came out of it. We had one extra boneless short rib. But, yeah, so the food prices are going to continue to go up. And we just all have to plan and work together. And like I say, you've just got to be flexible right now. If you go in and you're like, man, I really wanted to do a big old thing of just whole chicken wings. Well, there's a chicken wing shortage. That happens every year this time of year.
Yes.
It's worse this year. They're starting to get the wings back in, but you've got the College Bowl season just wrapped up. And you've got the NFL playoffs going on. And in another month, usually you have March Madness going on. So this is a tough time of year to get wings. And they're even harder to get this year because a lot of people use the wings to make stock for their turkey on Christmas Day. So so all of that's got everything scarce. All right, folks, one last segment, right?
Yep.
Okay, 343-0106 if you want to give us a holler. And like I say, February 7th, patty cakes.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Yikes. The mic just left. A lot of that going around. All right. So we bought a new oven that has a built-in air fryer function. It was not a selling point for me, nor was the fact that the oven is Wi-Fi.
What?
My guess, because I haven't even looked at the paperwork on it, how to set it up, but my guess is you're sitting there, you're watching TV, and you're like, man, I like a frozen pizza. Pull up the phone, preheat the oven. That's what I'm thinking goes on.
Okay. I was thinking it was just going to be bossy and say, hey, come and make this.
I don't know. But I think it's just so that you can preheat from a distance or something like that. But,
or maybe on your way home. I see where that's useful.
Right. But so neither the Wi-Fi nor the air fryer were selling points. What was the selling point was it had a 5-burner cooktop.
Oh.
Yeah. And a convection oven. Ooh. And an enameled inside so that you put the clean setting. You just put some water in there, hit the clean setting, turns it into steam, and everything just runs off of it.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't have anything to clean yet because it's only been a month or so. But it's got the air fryer setting.
Uh-huh. I love my air fryer.
Well, I decided, let me look into this, because I don't buy gadget stuff. I don't want an infrared cooker. Mm-hmm. I don't want an air fryer sitting on my counter. I don't want any of that stuff. I want actual appliances I use in a restaurant, because that's what I'm used to, and I don't need gimmicks. But if it's got it built into it, heck yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been playing around. I've done some frozen tater tots and some french fries in it. It's really good. I watched a video of this guy who cooked every meat he could think of just in the air fryer.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it turned out pretty good. Some of it, he's like, nah, I wouldn't eat that.
Yeah.
Now, he did a thick, he called it a tomahawk pork chop. It was a thick center cut pork chop with the bone extending, the rib bone still on it. And he said that was fantastic.
Really?
He just did it, just seasoned it, and put it in the air fryer.
Huh.
And he said it. He says the biggest thing with it is getting a crust.
Yeah.
It doesn't crust meat well. So he started putting a little oval iron skillet in there in the air fryer, and then he got his crust.
Oh.
But it just seemed like. But mine's not one of those. But I did my research. 40% of American households now have an air fryer.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. That's huge. And so I'm going to start tinkering with this and playing around with it. Air fryers have become the latest craze in kitchen appliances. All the flavor of fried food without the unhealthy fat. Those who don't have an air fryer are missing out on a golden, crispy french fries, chicken wings, and even healthy salmon. Why would salmon not be healthy if you don't use an air fryer? I mean, I don't know anyone that dips it in.
You don't deep fry salmon.
Yeah. But so that's a little ridiculous there. But the point being, you can do a lot of these things. So I'm going to play around with it and see what I can get. It certainly doesn't hurt to eat healthy. I've got a deep fryer. I try not to use it too often because I'll get in the habit of just coming home and frying everything because it's quick, it's easy, it's delicious. Yeah. But I know it's not good for me.
But I find my air fryer is just as easy as a deep fryer.
Yeah, and that's the way this is going to be.
And I love my air fryer. I've done several dishes. There's a lot of things I don't think I'd try in it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go to do like my veggies, it's a great way to cook the veggies without it, you know, turning them greasy and unhealthy. But even like broccoli or like French fries, it's such an easy way to do that.
Right. And I'm all for that because just baked fries are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You can't dress that up any way that makes it good.
No. Nope.
So just don't bother. It's like I say, if you choose a gluten-free lifestyle, well, don't go around asking people to have gluten-free bread so you can have sandwiches and gluten-free dough so you can still have pizza. When you make the decision to go gluten-free, that means you just give those things up. And if you're not just going to give those up, don't go gluten-free. Same with vegans. Well, I'm a vegan. Can I get a vegetarian burger? No, the salad bar's right there. That's what you said you wanted. Go eat the salad bar. If you demand a veggie burger as a vegan, you're a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you think you're standing for, you're still throwing it at it. So if you're not going to give up meat, by God, eat meat then.
Yeah.
Don't try and get vegetarian pepperoni and vegetarian ham. Yeah. Just give it up.
Is there really vegetarian pepperoni?
Oh, it's all soy, which is a highly processed product that is not at all healthy.
Right.
I mean, and that's why doctors will tell you the vegan lifestyle is very unhealthy. It's life-threatening bad.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people
low protein.
There are compounds in animal fats that you cannot get from anywhere but animal fats, and the body needs them. Mm-hmm. There's no being out there that's going to – it's not the protein issue. It is the fatty acids.
Mm.
Your joints, absolutely, you need to consume other animals or your joints are going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
Your heart's going to have problems. Your skin will be terrible. These are all documented. Vegans, most of them, won't listen to it. And I learned this because there was a vegan, she called herself a high and mighty, oh so self-righteous vegetarian. And she would walk through restaurants and yell at people that they shouldn't eat steaks. And her doctor told her, if you don't start eating 3 boiled eggs a week, you're going to die in the next year.
Mm.
He said, I'm not asking you to eat a steak or anything else, but you need to eat at least 3 boiled eggs a week or a glass of milk every other day.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you need some animal fats or you're going to die. And she said when she published that on her vegan blog, she got death threats from the meat is murder crowd. Mm. So it doesn't do any good to explain to most vegans that this isn't healthy because they're sold on a lifestyle. So enjoy your lifestyle. Go with it if that's what you feel drawn to. But don't walk in and ask for a veggie burger because you're a hypocrite if you do. Just go to the salad bar and shut your mouth. No, there's a lot of good stuff out there. Indian restaurants are great for vegetarians and vegans. They are, and the food is delicious. And Mediterranean food, there's a lot of it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't ask me for a veggie burger because if it doesn't have meat, you can't call it a burger.
Right.
A burger means ground meat.
Yes.
So you can get all the vegetables, the black beans and all that stuff, put them in a paste that's gooey and nasty and put it on a bun, but don't call it a burger. Call it what it is, salad on a bun. That's vegetarian lasagna, it's pasta salad.
Yeah.
Maybe delicious. I've made some really good vegetarian lasagnas,
mm-hmm.
but they're still a salad. Now, you get into it where now you're going to kick the cheese out too and use a soy product. Just you need to stay at home, put your tinfoil hat on when you're doing stuff like that, and leave the rest of us alone, because that's just weird. I bought some cheese the other day, and I'm like, oh man, this is like a nice Greek version of this cheese. I'm going to give that a try, and I'm eating it. I'm like, this really tastes awful, and it wouldn't melt. And I'm like, I mean, this really tastes like I'm eating. It doesn't even taste like cheese. And then I looked on the package, and it was vegan cheese. I didn't know. I thought this was a high-end, high-quality cheddar cheese, and it turned out to be grass.
Vegan cheese.
Vegan cheese, yeah. And it's, you are a hypocrite. I'm straight up a hypocrite. Don't walk into a sandwich shop and ask them for gluten-free bread if you've gone gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a salad shop and get your salad.
Right.
You know, or just get a bowl.
Don't pretend it's something else.
Yeah, get a rice bowl. But if you can't give up the sandwich, then you can't give up the gluten. Sorry, that's Stu's rule. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. Y'all just keep praying for Mike and all the other people out there that have COVID. And pray for each other because Lord knows we need it.
Definitely.
Tip your servers because they're earning it right now, folks. There's
no excuse
not to tip right now other than you're just cheap. Period.
Yes. If you're going to go out, go out.
Right. And, We're turning the corner. I don't know how much longer we got to go, but I know this. Provolone.
Provolone.